The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
But we're going to kick off, as we do every day, with our afternoon update. And I'm delighted to be joined in studio by Red FM presenter Neil Prendeville, my colleague from Red FM.
Good to see you, Neil.
Good to see you. And Liz Dunphy from the Irish Examiner. Liz, how are you?
Hey, good, thanks. How are you?
Let's begin, Liz, with this row in London. Helen McEntee pulled... Well, actually, Helen McEntee was going. And James Cleverly, who is the foreign the Home Secretary, he decided, I'm busy. Basically red buttoned her.
Yeah.
She was never going to take that well.
No, she wasn't. But as you mentioned, local elections are coming up there. So there's been speculation that he didn't want to raise, you know, the ire of the migration issue, which is such a big issue for the Conservative Party at the moment. And yeah, Helen McEntee, I'm sure, is not impressed with it. But she's busy herself anyway today because, as you know, last week, well, I suppose we'll start like last week, basically, Helen McEntee announced that over 80% of asylum applicants are now believed to be coming through the north. So the government announced last week that they were going to introduce new emergency legislation to tackle this, to allow Ireland to send asylum applicants back to the UK, basically. So Helen McEntee is, I think, working on that legislation today and plans to bring it to Cabinet tomorrow. So I guess she's busy today anyway, regardless of the
meeting being
cancelled.
But it's definitely Hal Martin attends this meeting in London on his Toblerone, hasn't it? So I'm presuming he's going to have to make the point, whether anyone will be listening, who knows?
I mean, he said at lunchtime that, you know, the reception was warm over there, but that was about it. And a new meeting is going to be scheduled with James Cleverly and Helen McEntee in the weeks to come. But yeah, it's an absolutely crazy situation. Like, as you know, the Rwandan legislation, which was just passed recently in the UK, will allow the UK to send asylum applicants to Rwanda in East Africa for processing there. It's a massively contentious and massively expensive policy. Like, the UK government has already committed, I think, 290 million sterling to it, with another 100 million coming in the next 2 years. And it's going to cost a fortune per applicant to send them back just on the planes and to pay Rwanda to look after them. So it's massively expensive.
Neil, the old joke phrase, the Brits are never not at it, applies somewhat here, doesn't it?
I thought it was kind of smart alecky of Sunak to say what he said with regards to, we can now see that the Rwanda policy is working. Look at the problems they're having in Ireland. Yeah. We'll have more of rubbing his hands in glee. But it shouldn't come as a surprise, because they've been using the slogan "Stop the votes" for quite some time. You see it in the advertising. You see it on the lecterns whenever they're giving a debate or politicians are talking. And I think that they've been an awful lot faster off the mark to actually identify that there is a problem that's getting potentially worse. Now, how you could ever police the Irish border, which of course was a contentious issue anyway with Brexit, that won't be possible. So I don't know what this emergency legislation is going to do. But I think that we should take a lesson from them, that we are in very, very dangerous times with regards to our borders and the amount of people that we would wish to be charitable to, but we actually can't afford to keep on doing it. And it's all very well asking me how I feel of it, but I'm quite sure you probably get it too, but I get it on air an awful lot. There is an awful lot more disquiet, disharmony, upset and annoyance when we see everything else around us clattering into pieces, with 14,000 people accessing emergency accommodation. Anyway, 4,000 of them are children. You know, some are couch surfing, some are in tents, some are sleeping in their car, because I talk to them on the air. And yet we see masses of money, like something like an overwhelming figure of over 10 to 12 billion per year being spent on trying to be charitable. And we want to be charitable, but it's not anything that is sustainable. And then when you look at everything else that's going on here, you talked about it there. You spoke about special needs hours, or people that need help with their children or accessing health services. It is literally, if Ireland needed medical condition at this stage, it would be an ICU. It really and truly, because everything is either broken or breaking.
But the government, if they were here, which they're not, they would always say, oh, well, you know, there's always going to be people who talk us down. We're, you know, our economy is doing exceptionally well. Are we cherry picking what we want to see?
No, I mean, we hear that all of the time. When I tried to address this with Micheál Martin about a year ago, saying, are you ever going to get a handle on some kind of handle on the border? Certainly when it comes to international protection or applicants, the length of time it's taking to process, those that have been refused appeals and must leave but don't. And he accused me of having a lack of compassion. I think he's probably one of the only ones that's left now who hasn't really seen the writing on the walls. I think much of them now have moved their position. They've changed their rhetoric in it. They're realising that things are really and truly now not, they're just not sustainable.
The other side of this, Liz, is we're kind of piggy in the middle here, aren't we? Because this is actually a Brexit-related row. The British have now decided, well, we, until such time as the French do this, yeah. The Irish will do that. And we're kind of sitting there going, well, we didn't start the fight. Why are we now being dragged into it by our collar?
Yeah, I mean, Rishi Sunak said that today, that he is absolutely not going to accept any Irish returns of asylum seekers unless France accepts returns. You know, from the UK.
And that's Neil's point. The legislation is rather defunct before we even get going, because we can't send them back.
Yeah, absolutely. So what is going to happen? I mean, it's a question. We're stuck, aren't we? Like, we already can see the tents outside Mount Street with people living in absolutely appalling situations there. Mm. You know, there's every week we're getting higher numbers of asylum seekers which are not housed in the state already, and more people coming in. So, yeah, the country has a bit of an issue on its hands, and it's just because we're facing a housing crisis. Like, Ireland is actually reasonably underpopulated. It's just this is all coming at a time when we have a very lack of supply of housing and a lot of competition for it. So,
and it'll become a more polarising issue as we get closer to our local and European elections.
Well, it's a medical issue as well, as well as housing, and it's all of the different services that also have to be provided for, notwithstanding 2.1 billion, which is a huge amount of money to find in any calendar year. So if you take it from, you have to take from one area to put it into another, and this isn't going to, I mean, I don't know whether this is going to change or it's going to back off. I don't think so. I think
statistics are
showing that more and more applications are coming.
Here's an interesting text that I hadn't thought about. It was a bit Irish of Sunak to claim that the Rwanda policy is working, but then again, Rishi is an anagram of Irish. Never realised that.
I thought of that either.
Wonderful listeners spotted something that already. We should send them that in a card of some kind. Neil, into, I was rather cruelly saying earlier on that they probably had their party conference in a phone box over the weekend, but there was more than a few at it. And one of the ideas that came out of it is that Ireland needs another international city outside of the M50. Now, this caused me to regurgitate my Barry's tea ever so slightly, because I would have assumed that we here in Cork will do our very best to be an international city.
I nearly choked on my Chester cake.
I mean, do they have a point? I mean, we've always had this argument that Dublin has too much in it, but I mean, that's kind of disrespectful to Cork and Galway that are boxing, and Limerick as well, that are boxing above their weight.
I think all of your topics this afternoon are quite connected. I mean, build a brand new city. Is it somewhere outside of Dublin, outside of the Pale, at a time when we can't even get them to build proper housing or proper infrastructure or proper roads or proper facilities to many of the towns and villages around the country in the first place? I don't know. I think it might be a sop to the rest of us from Dubliners who perhaps have it so good. And all of the services provided, and their Lewis's and their Darts and their intercity.
We compare, there's people sitting on the M50 right now who are going, I'd much prefer to be in Cavan if they could set up a new international city in Cavan.
Well, I mean, if I can give any advice in that regard, I would tell people to move to Cork because it is idyllic in so many different ways.
Except the fact that both of you got caught in traffic on the way in, which I didn't want to tell
you. But that's a real exception,
exception to the rule. Liz, I mean, this is the classic argument that's thrown at the IDA the whole time. Oh, you don't care a hoot about anything outside of Dublin. And sadly for them, the figures kind of stack up that if you're not in Dublin, Cork or Galway, you don't get IDA investment as a rule.
Yeah, well, I suppose there's always going to be clusters, aren't there? Like, business is going to want to go where there is already business and there are already developments, so that you can take workers from other places and skills and share information. But like Cork, like as you mentioned there, there has been a huge amount of development. We have like pharma hubs, tech hubs, and they are growing all the time. And Limerick, I think, has a huge amount of potential for the future. And I think if we look at things like, there are already plans in place for like floating offshore wind generation. And obviously with our climate goals, we're going to have to secure significant amounts of renewable energy in order to continue to grow our economy. So places like Cork in the south and Limerick in the kind of southwest, like they're in really good positions, I think, to be able to galvanise that. And once those operations are up and running, obviously you don't just have the electrons being generated, but also you can generate green hydrogen and green ammonia, which can further fuel industry. And unless we have those kind of infrastructural projects in place, it's going to be hard to attract investment. And that's where investment is going to go in the future, where that energy generation potential is.
And we are at a serious disadvantage. The further you get away from the East Coast, the harder it is to get access to the electric grid, which is ironic because that's where most of the wind is going to be generated, off the southwest and the northwest coast.
Although I was in County Cork at the weekend, I was at a funeral up in Ballydesmond, and the amount of wind generation on higher ground, it blew me away. It was an area I hadn't been in a long time. huge amounts, and all of West Kerry and everything, because I spend a lot of time down there, more and more.
Very little connection to the electric grid, though.
It doesn't
that's
get
the
to the grid. Yep. That makes it kind of daft.
Yeah, exactly.
It?
That's the point. To be fair to Padraig, Padraig Tobin, what he is hoping for is that there'll be a competition between the cities. Now, I don't know, is it a gladiatorial-style contest?
Cork shouldn't enter that. We would just win it hands down.
Not based on our hurling, maybe on something else. We might find a different way to do it. We tried that with directly elected mayors. The good people of Cork decided they didn't want that. Limerick has a directly elected mayor coming, will be soon. So, I mean, it maybe that's the way to do it, isn't
Absolutely,
it?
Absolutely, yeah. And, I mean, why not have a really big cheerleader for Limerick to try to drive this, you know, new future and vision for a new city forward there? I think that is a really important aspect of it, yeah, having that champion for the city.
So the text messages in on migration. Andrew, how you doing, Andrew? Hilarious, the attitudes of the Irish media towards Britain. They've at least attempted to take control of their borders. Would you go away,
Andrew?
He's
right.
They've tried, but failed.
They may have failed, but they have been talking about it. We just seem to whistle into the wind or walk into a crisis without even realising it. They have been talking about it, and they have been saying... And you're right. I mean, when Liz talks about Rishi Sunak saying, why should we do any kind of a deal with the Irish? They're in the European Union. The European Union won't do a deal with us, with France. So
well, that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to say that the new deal is if you arrive somewhere else, you get bussed back. So if you come in, you get bussed back. You don't have to be processed here anymore. That's the new deal.
But it's a terrible thing to be talking about humans, individuals and families and children in this kind of cold and calculated way. And when I heard the British talking like that first, stop the boats, I thought, God, that's so discompassionate. But actually, when you look at everybody in this, whether it's those that wish to come here, the reasons that they want to come here, the profits made by the smugglers who are helping to bring them here, you have to kind of say, it's just not sustainable in the current mode. That's all.
Just in response to that listener as well, even since that policy, like a few hours after that policy was brought in, boats were still crossing the channel and 5 people died from one of those boats, including a child. So like even with these policies, the push factors of why people are leaving these countries, they will still be there and people will still leave. So even since that policy was brought in, people have died crossing the channel into England.
John in Limerick says, Jonathan, the Windsor Agreement, I'm glad you're up to date in your agreements, underpins the Good Friday Agreement, which in turn is registered with the UN. It means Northern Ireland comes under the jurisdiction of the European Court of Human Rights, which has already declared Rwanda an unsafe country. The British government will be in breach of the Good Friday Agreement if they send asylum seekers from Northern Ireland to Rwanda. Once in Belfast, they just have to stay there. Well, I mean, that's just keeping the problem in the 6 counties as opposed to sending it south.
We created that in an Irish court, didn't we? Some weeks ago when there was a ruling handed down that we could not send somebody back to the UK having lost their appeal.
And that's what Helen McEntee is trying to fix now with the new legislation.
But how will the legislation fix it? Because it's an open border.
Well, it won't. The Brits pillaged half the world, says somebody, including ourselves. They're now reaping what they sowed. Unfortunately, we will be collateral damage and have to pick up the cost. And one more. Why should the English care about the immigration problem here? The Irish want it every way. Never happy. Now the problem is on your side. You don't like it. I'm not sure if that person is English. I suspect they may very well be, based on the tone of that. The one other story that we heard earlier on News Talk was the idea that staycations are on the drop. Have you booked your staycation, either of you, this year? Blank faces. Look at them. No, they're going straight to the sun.
You mean a weekend here and there around Ireland?
A proper week away in a caravan in northern
in
Donegal.
A caravan? Yeah. In the rain? Not even a mobile home?
Not even a mobile home. Just a good old-fashioned caravan that you hike up to the back of the car, Neil.
Not even clamping.
So I'm taking it from neither of you that you've booked on a reasonably long stay, have you?
Well, I haven't, but my husband is from West Cork, so I often go down to his family place in West Cork anyway, so it kind of...
That's not a staycation, that's just staying with the family. That's different. I suppose
but it's lovely.
Sometimes that can be more challenging. I mean, why... The other thing, Neil, I know from listening to your programme, that people talk a lot about cost. And cost has become really prohibitive, hasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, big time. Certainly cost is one of the big issues I hear. Secondly is the weather, and people like to go away and get guaranteed some good sunshine. On top of that as well, I think there's less availability, there's less hotel rooms, there's less B&Bs, there's less guest houses. So it's almost like a perfect storm. I think the pandemic was superb. I mean, for me personally, during the pandemic, in spite of all of its doom and gloom and the bad sides to it, when we got to go around Ireland, I got to see an awful lot of the country, right up the West Coast, right into Northern Ireland, way over as far as Belfast. Things I probably would never have done if I had a choice to go overseas or not. So I got to see an awful lot. I think a lot of Irish people did as well. So that was wonderful. Mm. But I think after maybe the pandemic and 2 or 3 years being told what to do and not what to do, people wanted to go overseas a bit more, you know, take a weekend break overseas.
And you can't blame them when the weather is the way it is right now. One of the big concerns, Liz, I know from speaking to people in the sector, is they're terrified about the Americans this year, because one of the things the Americans don't do is they don't travel in an election year. So if staycations are down and the American tourism is down, it's not going to be a great year now, is it?
But actually, it's interesting because an article which was in actually the Mail said the bookings made by US and UK citizens for Ireland have actually increased
You're
by 20-70%
yeah.
for the summer months. So although that same report also found that there was an increase in people booking staycations in, you know, within Ireland, that there was actually an increase in bookings. So hopefully the election hasn't put up people off. Maybe they want to escape the anger and vitriol of it.
Quite possibly that as well. To be fair, you'd want to avoid that as much as you can. The problem though, Neil, is if we continue to get a reputation as a high-cost destination, they're going to stop coming, because everyone who gets charged €6 for a scone is going to tell 10 people.
I wonder, Jonathan, are we more bothered by that than the tourists themselves are? Honestly, like, I don't know that the Scandinavians are as bothered, or the Germans are as bothered,
well,
or the Yanks.
When we're abroad, we just horse out the money, don't we?
And perhaps we don't really think too much of it when we're overseas, but we notice it here when it comes to the value of, say, comparing it to Spain and to Portugal and to Italy and to France. But I mean, I'm in South Kerry an awful lot, because we have a little home in Port McGee near Valencia.
A small little caravan.
Yes. Yeah. A small little garden shed with a front and back door. So I get to see a lot of the tourists all summer. Those that come particularly to Port Mead because they're going to Skelligs.
Yeah.
And that's on an awful lot of people's bucket list. So they're from all over the world. They never once complain about the price. They really don't. Like, it just seems to be normal for them to pay with
that. Well, as I said, it gives us something to talk about. If it's not the weather, we can give out about the price of things. Or indeed the British, as we've been doing for the last 20 minutes or so. Neil Prendeville of Red FM, Liz Dunphy, the Irish Examiner. Thank you very much for joining us here in the Republic of Work.